Spring is a time of renewal, coming out of the state of wintering and chasing the light, learning to find a bloom right in the space that we are planted, regardless of the conditions. Welcome to Wondercast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. Wondercast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Today, we are joined by two guests as they share the incredible mission and community resources of the nonprofit Inheritance of Hope. Inheritance of Hope is a national organization that provides support and resources to young families facing terminal illness. Difficult times do not get to rob us of all the light. In this space, there can be the coexistence of joy and sorrow, hope and connection, a community you never knew you needed, perhaps even your family's very own blooming right where you are planted. Meet Ellie and Renee.
Hi, my name is Renee Johnson. I live in the Gulf Breeze, Florida area, home to some of the best beaches in America. I am married and have three children. My husband retired from the Air Force a few years ago, and we decided to stay by the beach. I have been with Inheritance of Hope for a little over 2 years now, but have been serving families in different capacities for the majority of my adult life. After experiencing the loss of my own mom, I realized that my love for families and my experience with illness and loss kind of was able to be melded together. And now I get to do this as the greatest quote unquote job I've ever had.
My name is Ellie Ladine, and I am a certified child life specialist. I worked in the hospital for a few years with pediatric patients and their families. I really loved the job, but then I transitioned to the nonprofit world to still work with patients and families and just provide care in a different way. And while I miss working in the hospital some days, it's hard to miss it when, you know, you work from home and you have a lot more flexibility in your life. And I feel like at Inheritance of Hope, you can kind of just get a little bit deeper with families outside of the hospital walls and just kind of lean in and learn more about their stories. So yeah, I enjoy what I do now. And I'm married. I've been with Inheritance of Hope for about 2 years now and live in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. So excited that winter is maybe coming to an end soon. Let's hope. It's been cold.
I mean, you are a different kind of bravery. I don't think
right
could not do it. We got cold in Texas. We didn't even get below zero. The wind chill felt below zero. So I count that as below zero. And I almost died. I didn't want to go out anywhere. And like you see people in other places of the United States still going to school, walking in the snow.
I don't get it. I don't know if I asked Ellie or Tessa, one of our other colleagues, and I was like, what do you guys do when it's like snowing all the time and it's like negative degrees? And she was like, well, we get up and I take the kids to school and we do this and we do all of our things. And I'm like, but how?
And like for us, if they even think it might snow, they'll cancel school.
Shut down.
That's crazy.
It doesn't even have to. They just have to think it might. And it's like, nope, nope, no school.
Yeah. No, you just kind of wear more clothes, you know, it's with the wind chill, it got to like negative 30 pretty consistently. And
yeah, in everyday life.
Yes.
So to me, that's resiliency right there. So like you're demonstrating already why you need to be in the job you're in, because you're good with resiliency. I would love it if one of you or both of you want to take a minute to kind of share a little bit about Inheritance of Hope for our listeners that don't have a clue what this organization even does.
Get it, Ellie.
All right. So Inheritance of Hope is a nonprofit, and we provide hope and resources to young families facing the loss of a parent due to terminal illness. And so we have a lot of different resources online, in person, ongoing, that are available to people who the parent is facing a terminal illness and they have kids under the age of 18. And we just get to pursue them and connect them with other people who get it and make the journey a little bit easier. There's nothing that we can do to like take away a stage 4 diagnosis, but there's things that we can maybe add to someone's life where they get to experience other people who you don't have to give any context to. You can just show up and other people know exactly what's happening. So we have retreats, we have legacy videos, we have hope hubs, we have our hope at home groups, and just other miscellaneous resources, all to benefit people who are going through a really hard time in life and just how to navigate it well with other people who are in your corner.
Renee, is there anything you want to add to that?
I feel like she did great. I will add that I think at the core of everything that we do, you know, there's a lot of organizations with a lot of programs and they're beautiful and there's resources and a lot goes into that. But like the real true heart of what we want for families is community with other people who get it. Those me too moments when you meet people. And so whether it's in person or online, it's just building that community. So like once you're in the Inheritance of Hope community, you're in it and you can be in it for as long as you need to. You can be in it while you're going through illness, also after loss. And so I think just the beautiful full circle moments of being served well, but then also looking back and helping others is something that we get to experience a lot of, which is really neat.
So for families to connect with Inheritance of Hope, you are talking about they have a terminal diagnosis. Is that correct? Do they have to be already connected with like a hospice center, or is it something that's not affiliated at all through any sort of hospice program?
No, there's no real medical requirement. The only time we would ever ask for any sort of doctor's information is on our legacy retreats, and that's so that we can prepare for what your circumstances are. So essentially, the word terminal can be kind of scary for people because, you know, when you're in it and you've been given a diagnosis, like you're actively fighting against your cancer or, you know, whatever it is you're facing. And so terminal doesn't mean necessarily that you are in hospice, that you are at end of life, but you've been given a diagnosis that is essentially terminal. So it could be a late stage cancer, a metastatic cancer, ALS, something that doesn't have a cure, and that it's even if you live with it for 10 years, like it's not going away. For example, we have a family who the mom was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer 10 years ago. We served her family on a retreat. She had very young children at the time. She now is 10 years down the road. We're still serving her through Hope Hub and other ways. And she's now at a point where her metastatic breast cancer has now, you know, shown up in her brain and she has lesions in other spots that she's not probably going to be able to just live 10 more years with. And so, you know, at the time of her diagnosis, her family needed to be served in one way, but now 10 years later, they're facing different challenges. And so now we're able to serve them in that way. And so it can look like years of treatments and trials and things like that. But essentially, you've been given a diagnosis that is typically a terminal diagnosis.
You know, feelings of hope and joy, those are not words that one typically kind of associates with end-of-life care or a hard prognosis or a terminal diagnosis. And yet that is what your organization is doing. It's cultivating joy and hope. How does hope look like for your organization?
Yeah, well, kind of going off of the last question, when you seek out resources like this, this does not mean that you're throwing in the towel. This is it. You know, you've accepted it and you have no fight in you. No, not at all. Like Renee said, we have resources for every step of the way. And so whatever your mentality is around it, whether you just got this and, you know, you have this fighting spirit and you are going to face this with strength and resiliency, or maybe it just totally shifted your world and you are not feeling very hopeful. No matter where you're at, there is hope and joy to be found in life still. Sorrow, grief, death, that is not the opposite of joy, hope, and life. They can exist in the same space. It is difficult when you get a diagnosis like this or you are navigating something that altered your world and your life, your normal, everything completely. And yet, when you get to connect with people and get that purpose from connection and community and these resources that are focused on just building memories with your family and being intentional about your legacy and how you are operating day to day. That is a beautiful thing because it just kind of zooms out. We're not asking you to be happy that you're in this situation. No, like be angry, be sad, be scared. That is normal. Absolutely. But in the midst of that, can we come alongside you and also experience joy and laughter and things when these might be the hardest days of your life? But Renee, I would love to hear your answer to that too.
Yeah, the word that immediately came to my mind was that word that we kind of all cling to of jaro. And it's the idea that like joy and sorrow can exist at the same time. You can experience that during grief, anticipatory grief, like all of these different things that you go through where you can be extremely sad and disheartened and that can lead to hopelessness, but there can be joy in the moments that you have with your kids or your family members or your friends or your community. And so this beautiful thing happens where you're experiencing joys and hopes at the same time that you're experiencing, you know, some devastating things. And so for me, I feel like hope looks like two young girls showing up to Hope Hub for the first time who both have lost their father and asking each other very plainly, did your dad die too? Yeah. Did he have cancer? And she's like, yeah. And that was all they needed was to know that, oh, you get it. There's someone out there who knows what I've been through. And they have now formed this bond that they look forward to seeing each other. They can look forward to their time together, even while they're grieving in their own ways. There's this moment of hope for each of them that someone knows what I'm going through. It can also look like a family showing up for a retreat who gets to not think about treatments and sickness and hospital visits for a few days and gets to make memories with their family that, you know, one day they may cling to those memories when they need them the most, but it reminds them that they can enjoy and have fun and make memories in the time that they have together and really focus their mindset on that so that as they move forward with things that are only going to get harder with their illness, they can remember what it's like to have fun together and to just kind of reignite that light and happiness within their family unit.
Gosh, it's such an incredible organization. And I honestly did not know much about it before a colleague of mine was like, hey, we need to have them as a guest because they would be wonderful. And I just think that so many people that are in that stage of their care are so focused on the sorrow. And so I think when you can add the joy into the sorrow, I love jaro. I might be using jaro.
Totally can.
I love that you can learn to hold space for both.
Yes.
And I think for children, they naturally get to that point quicker than adults do. And so I love that there's this coupling and focus on a family, because as much as the parents model to the kids, I think the kids model to the parents too. Like we can find comfort and joy in this moment too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So growing community is such an incredible thing. We know that as clinicians, and you hear it in the schools, like wait till your kids are in kindergarten, you'll grow your community and or in team sports. Or there is a unique community that is grown out of people that are living with disease, be chronic, terminal, or even have a diagnosis and then go on to full recovery. How have you seen the community benefit the families that your organization serves?
I feel like, Renee, you would probably have good stories being in the Hope Hub world, because that's the entire focus of it is the community aspect.
Well, and maybe we'll do this. Why don't you take a quick second to explain, because you keep saying Hope Hub, like take a minute and explain the programming. And then that way,
Okay. That
might just naturally kind of answer that too, because you'll be explaining the different programming that you have.
Yeah. So part of our programming is online and part of ours are in person. And so our legacy retreats have kind of been our flagship program since the inception of Inheritance of Hope. And so from that, we learned that families would come together. They would experience that community of getting to be with 20 to 30 other families who are all walking through something similar. And they would make friends with each other. They would connect. They would relate. Sometimes they would find another parent with a similar diagnosis and be able to connect. And then we would have to say goodbye at the end of those trips, and everyone flies back to their parts of the country, and we're sad and they're sad. And a recurring theme was like, how can we get more of that? The families want more of that time together. And so that is where Hope Hub was kind of birthed out of, was like, how could we give this to them on an ongoing basis, but right in their city where they live? And so Hope Hub started from that idea of, let's try it and see if it works. And so it is kind of our baby program. It's our newest program just in the last couple of years, and the program that I work most closely with. So it's my passion. But we essentially took that idea of community that was so prevalent on our retreats and within our online groups, that they get to meet once a month in person as a whole family. There's curriculum, there's resources, there's a volunteer team that lives locally that gets to know them on, you know, a real deeper level, because they see them and they look forward to seeing them. They check in on them in between. And so there's time for the family to do something all together in a large group. There's a theme for the night, but then they also have small group time that's more intentionally focused by ages, from preschoolers through adults. And so it just gives them a space to come to every month, something to look forward to. They know the people there. They get to know each other. One of the most beautiful parts of it is, you know, we'll have families who then are attending each other's birthday parties outside of Hope Hub, or we had two of our ALS families in Jacksonville go to Disney together in this last year. And so they're doing life together outside of that, but we're just giving them the foundation of it. And so that is how Hope Hub is benefiting in these communities. It's kind of how we've been able to take this like macro program of legacy retreats that serves on like a larger scale and is an amazing experience, and then take it to a micro level of like, now this exists in your community every month. You can be a part of it for as long as you need. We have families who start with a Hope Hub and have a diagnosed parent who then experience the loss of that parent. And then now they are now serving other families within their Hope Hub because they know what it's like to be on the other side. So it's just been beautiful to build and watch it grow and watch the excitement of the families. We have 16 families in Houston right now that are registered and waiting for us to launch, which is amazing. And we got to talk to one of the dads, and he is just like so excited for it to get started because he's experienced a retreat and that changed his life. He's part of an online group, caregiver group. And now he's like, and now I get to be with people in my city all the time. And so it's just kind of a full circle closure for them of like, here's all the ways you can be served well in different ways. Yeah, so it's exciting. All of our programs are exciting. I personally am super excited for Hope Hub just because I work most closely, but I love going into these cities and being able to offer something like this to families.
Now, how many areas, is it all around the country that you are serving in the Hope Hubs, or is it just in a specific part of the country? I know you're saying it's coming to Houston, but do you have it on the West Coast, East Coast? Is it kind of all over?
Yeah, so our initial hub started in the DC area. That was our first kind of like tester city. It went so well that we now have 4 locations that are active, that are meeting monthly. One is in the Washington, D.C. area. We have one in Jacksonville, Florida, one in the Tampa, Lakeland area of Florida, and then one in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. And then we have about 3 to 4 that we're working on getting launched in the next few months, I would say, Houston and Austin being 2 of the that are very close to launching. Just super exciting. And we've had a lot of help from our Wonders and Worries friends that we love so much. And so our goal one day with Hope Hub, our big, you know, big dream goal, is to have a Hope Hub in every major city within an hour of any family that needs it.
I love that. And when you say that it is run within those cities, is it by volunteers that are trained in the curriculum or have that background in providing that level of support?
Yeah, so we have an onboarding program, we have training that they go through, we equip them. We have a 2-year cycle of curriculum that is beautifully written by Tessa, and it's constantly kind of being updated, training, equipping, all the things. We love bringing in people in the community who just have a passion for that, who have a background in working with kids. It is a peer-led program, so it doesn't have any of the clinical side of things, which is why we love having other organizations locally that we can refer people out to. So other providers and organizations that families who do need a little bit more of that or are seeking more, we can say, hey, we know these people, we trust them. They would be great for you to have that. So our program is really just based on that community aspect of giving them a local community of people that really get it.
What does that referral process look like? How does a family maybe listening think, I want that for my family, or this is what we need? How do they become engaged with your organization?
Yeah, so the easiest way for a family to be referred by anyone or just to get plugged in is to go to inheritanceofhope.org/refer. And there's a simple form to fill out. And that is if you would like to refer a family. If you're a family that is looking for resources and programs, you can go to inheritanceofhope.org and click on the programs menu, and it will give you all of our online, in-person retreat programs. You can register for anything that you are interested in.
We'll link it to on our podcast and social media. So when families see the podcast, they can also link through that. And I think a lot of our families talk about the financial stress that goes with all of their care and all of their needs. Am I right in assuming that this does not come at a cost?
Yeah, that is very true. We are offering these services at no cost to families, thanks to donors who just really care about the well-being of all of the families that we serve. Because like you said, if you're going through a diagnosis and treatments and like your life is crazy enough, your finances should not be any hindrance to receiving the care and community that you need. So all of these resources are available to anyone in this situation at no cost to them. And there are actually two other services that Inheritance of Hope offers that I want to make sure we cover before moving on, which are also free. So yeah, Renee was able to speak on the in-person, one-time, and ongoing services. And we also do have a couple online services that kind of meet other needs where Hope Hub meets locally in person. Our Hope at Home groups are online support groups that meet weekly just from the comfort of your home. So you can be, you know, on your couch, in the hospital bed, on the go, anywhere that you have access to click on a link and join a call with other people who get it. That is how our Hope at Home groups work. And we have groups for each member of the family. So whether that's the diagnosed parent who can get plugged into diagnosis specific groups or more just diagnosed parent groups generally, we have groups for the spouse and caregivers who can just connect with other people in the same exact situation. And, you know, there's humorous stories to share in that, or things to like, I can't believe this happened and you guys would be the only people to get this. And then also for the kids of the diagnosed parent. So there are spaces and places for everyone. We obviously would love Hope Hubs everywhere, but the reality of it is we don't have that yet. We're very hopeful for that. But Hope at Home groups are just so flexible and accessible. So whether or not you have gone on a retreat, whether you have a Hope Hub in your city, it doesn't matter. Like, you can join these groups, and it's really sweet to see the friendships that have come from that. I used to be a facilitator in the metastatic breast cancer group, and oh my goodness, I laughed so hard. I cried so many times, and I also cried in that group with other women, and just hearing the stories and connecting about hilarious mishaps and things like that were so sweet. And I don't know if I can say this, so feel free to edit it out, but some of the stories were like these women who have such a sweet place in my heart for Hope at Home groups, because you just see it in action, like the weekly meeting spaces. And our last offering is legacy videos. And I'm the legacy video manager. So like Renee said, I'm not biased towards legacy videos, but it is the program that I feel like most passionate when I speak about it. But essentially, legacy videos are recordings that you can leave for your loved ones. And we have trained coaches who walk you through the entire process and can ask you questions. They just facilitate the entire process so that Again, all you have to do is click the link and join a call. And then we take care of all of the logistics so that you end up with this beautifully edited video that you can share your stories, your wisdom. You can or answer questions that, you know, if you have young kids, they're not going to think to ask, oh, mom, what was your favorite subject when you're in fifth grade? Like, I'm in fifth grade. What did you like? They don't maybe think to ask that in the moment, but having videos of your loved one and having their voice and their quirks and their mannerisms forever, that is so irreplaceable. That is a unique offering of Inheritance of Hope as well, because like we said, for all these resources, it is at no cost, but the legacy videos can be made by anybody, diagnosis or not. And you don't even need not only just not a diagnosis, but you don't need to be in a family with a terminal diagnosis. So we do have caregivers and everyone who makes them, you know, if you're a grandparent and you just want to record some of your stories, or I've made a legacy video, I think Renee's made a legacy video just to have a snapshot in time. It's a really priceless opportunity just to gift that to your future self and just your family and loved ones.
And I love when I think about all the different types of people there are in the world. There are those introverts, right? That just, they want to do something, but they want to keep it intimate and maybe just really, even to themselves, like a prompts, like a video that they could use. It fills that need. And then there are families that are most concerned about their children and how they're going to cope. And they can have these legacy retreats that are just this phenomenal experience for your family. And then there's the online groups and then the Hope Hubs, where it's age appropriate, kind of broken up into different areas, which I think is building that need for families that are maybe wanting adult connection or other children connection. And I love that it's multifaceted in the approach that it takes with families. I think that's great. Do you ever run into families where there is that level of resistance, like, ooh, this isn't what I thought it was, or, oh, I don't want to engage? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's natural anytime you're dealing with the unknown. And a lot of times things like this are unknown to families. They've maybe never been a part of groups or anything like that. So there is some level of hesitation. A lot of times the word terminal illness is also can incite that hesitation because they're like, oh, well, I'm not dying. You know, I'm okay right now, or I'm fighting this. And I tell people all the time, like, we believe for healing for you just like you do, but we're here either way. We've seen the hesitation, and then we've seen it kind of like, you just kind of see it melt off of them as soon as they show up at a retreat, or they join their first call, or they show up at Hope Hub. And Ellie and I got to talk with a dad the other night who's a caregiver, who that's his story, is he was resistant. He was like, my wife signed us up for this retreat. I didn't even want to go. I told her I don't want to talk about my feelings. I don't want to be with other people. I don't want to do any of it. And he was adamant. And he said, but she was so excited about it. And she's facing all of these hard things that I did it for her. And I went and I showed up. And he said the whole way there, I was like, I don't want to be here. And he said, but once they got there, and after the very first day of doing stuff and meeting their volunteers they got paired with, and their kids started breaking out of their shells, and he saw the joy on their face and just all the things they got to experience, he was like, it completely changed my mind. It changed my life. He was like, I view my role as a caregiver completely differently now. I'm thankful that I get to be a caregiver to my wife. You know, he had a very similar story to a lot of other men that we experienced too. I think is, you know, important to note that men are not always raised to be emotionally available or to want to share with other people. He was like, you know, I was raised to just kind of deal with stuff, and I was dealing with being a caregiver, and I was checking all my boxes. I was taking care of my wife in all these ways, but he's like, I wasn't taking care of myself. And he said through being in the caregiver online group, he was like, I was able to face those hard truths when someone said to me like, hey, I know you're taking great care of your wife right now, but what are you doing for yourself? He was like, it was the first time I had stopped and thought about it. And he was like, so all in all, just his whole experience has just changed the way that he's navigating his wife's illness, but his role as a caregiver. Just seeing those transformations is incredible to me every time. And so I do think that there's a ton of hesitation, and it's natural and it's okay. And there's times where you might just show up and not speak, and that's okay too. You have full permission to just show up and exist in whatever setting you're in. But we've seen over and over that that doesn't end up being the case, that it everything that families are led to serves them in the way that they need.
What a testimony. I think that it really speaks to all the different types of people that can get different things out of this programming. And that maybe if you try coming early in a diagnosis and you realize you're not ready for it, it sounds like once they've connected, they can come back at a later time. Once they've processed some of their care plan and treatments and made it through some of that, then they can come back and try reconnection. Is that correct?
Definitely. Yeah. I was just on a different podcast last week or a couple weeks ago, and we were saying that inheritance of hope is not like, oh, if you are sitting at the table here, you're taking the place of someone else. So if you're like not really into it, like get up and leave so someone else can have it. It's like, no, we're like continually building a longer, bigger table with more and more seats. And we want you at the table. And if you need to like get up and leave for a little bit, like that, the seat is reserved. Come back. Like we want you here.
What would you say is your favorite aspects of the work you do?
There's so many. I need to summarize it well.
That my exact answer is so many things. There are so many aspects that I love. I have always had a passion for families and the family unit and children and just all of that. And so getting to serve these families in ways that are so needed, the need is great. And the weight of that is on us every day. You know, one of our statistics that I share so boldly because it's so impactful is that every single day, just in the U.S., 562 children will lose a parent to terminal illness. When you realize the reality of that, like, one, it motivates you, but two, it's like, wow, that's a lot of children. So I think for me, it's just the families in general is probably the greatest aspect. Meeting them, hearing their stories, seeing them experience that hope and that joy, seeing that transformation happen, getting a call that a family that we are serving has lost their person and we get to be there for them for that, showing up to a funeral if we can. But then also hearing them say, I want to serve other families, and hearing them say, how can I be involved now?
Yeah, I echo so much of what you said. And I think having a background as a child life specialist in the healthcare setting, I always loved the job, like I said at the beginning of the call. But there was always something kind of missing for me because it felt very structured of, okay, I go through the patient's charts. I'm in the room for maybe 30 minutes and then I chart and then I'm on to the next. And each story was so compelling where I'm like, man, I just wish that I could like be in this person's community or in their church or in their neighborhood so that like, oh yeah, let me drive your kids to their soccer game because you're at this appointment. Like that role to me felt like more compelling than being this clinician who goes from one patient to the next. And that is so valuable. I don't want to undermine that because there's so much value as a child life specialist. And I loved that part of it. But what I love about this is that we can hop on a call and process what this is like and realize, okay, let's get you plugged into a Hope at Home group. Oh, if there's a Hope Hub in your city, or let's send you to Disney with other people in the same exact situation. And, you know, like all of my legacy video coaches can love on these people and pursue them. And it kind of breaks out of the walls that are in healthcare for a good reason, like HIPAA, not complaining, like that's so valuable. But being able to step in deeper to someone's story through all of the parts, like first diagnosed, life after loss, everything in between. In my role, I get emails from people who have lost their person asking, like, did they ever make a legacy video? And I can't tell you how sweet it is when I get to say, yes, they did. They were intentional about this. They made this for you. Here is the video. So you always have your person's voice and stories and all these things just message directly who you, like, there's no feeling to compare that to where we offered this free service. Someone took advantage of it and now their family is comforted in their grief. I can't even hardly call it a job most days. Like Renee said, like, this is such a blessing. I can't imagine doing anything else.
You know, I talk about it a lot with, in fact, actually, we had a podcast drop yesterday episode with our founders, with Meredith and Missy, and they were just talking about the idea of taking programming out of a more traditional format of either in a hospital or in some sort of facility and plugging it in the community definitely comes with a certain skill set, but it also comes with a certain passion of that person, right? We all have our gifts, and sometimes our gifts just really are calling us into the community because that is where our work is best served. If you're a clinician or a provider or even a future donor and you're sitting here listening to this and you're like, I want to give in some way like this, how can those clinicians or volunteers reach out to you to connect?
Our website is very user-friendly, inheritanceofhope.org, and there is a way to give, there's a way to sign up to volunteer, and there's a way to register families right there. There can be that clinical care and the specialists that are serving the families in those ways. And then there can be the community advocates who coupled together, the families being served fully. And it's just beautiful to get to partner with people that, you know, are like-minded in who we want to serve, but we have our own ways in doing so. The more ways that we can serve families, the better, I feel.
One thing I always love to share is that Inheritance of Hope partners with a secondary organization to provide free wills to anybody. So on our website, there's an opportunity to go through a very user-friendly, easy process where you can get your will all sorted out, and then you just have to go and get it notarized. But again, this is free for anyone. This is for anyone. It doesn't have to be like you're in this special population or anything. So that's always just something I want to throw out there. And our website, if you like click around,
these resources are available.
We have a lot more resources.
We're reserving
like these are the offerings that we shared about. But yeah, we're also starting
to join
a legacy song
and stick around. But we also get, if you need a little breather, to come back. But we're
podcast in your corner. So there's always new things coming out. So I feel like if you follow us on social media, that's probably a really good way to kind of stay in the loop for all of these things. We are here. These resources are available to you. We're reserving your seat at the table, and we would love for you to join and stick around. But we also get, if you need a little breather, to come back. But we're in your corner. We're here for you.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.